Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by the next phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
Hey, and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Right now in West Texas, 84 degrees, partly, well, mostly sunny skies out this way. 7:02, 2 minutes past 7 p.m. We'll be right here with you until 8:30 p.m. this evening, hopefully, if everything works out all right. And kicking off the show this week, which is the week of May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo, as a matter of fact, today. My baby daughter's birthday is tomorrow, and I want to say happy birthday to her. Also, Mother's Day coming up this weekend, and I've written a little thing here that I'd like to share with you at this point. Happy, happy, and blessed Mother's Day to all the beautiful women in the world. Thank you, mothers, for the gifts of us, your children. Knowing there are those lovely women who may or may not have born offspring, nonetheless, your wonderful gift of nurturing has been a magnificent source of encouragement, strength, and inspiration. I am more thankful for my great-grandmother, grandmother, mother, aunts, and the mothers of my children, my daughters, granddaughters, nieces, cousins, and friends than I can express to you at this point. Females, you all are, and God bless with the power of maternal nurturing. You have committed to provide your assistance regardless of the demands placed on you for all of us who came from you, and you are were supported by you, are loved and inspired by you. So on this coming Mother's Day, may I speak for and with ever how many who realize your great and selfless gift. My mother, my dear mother, left January 3rd, 2009, and never did I ever comprehend the tremendous loss I would feel. However, I am buoyed by knowing the love she shared with me during the time she spent in person with me. So beautiful women of every station, may I take this opportunity to simply say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'd like to say thank you to all the lovely ladies out there. Whether you be mothers or not, we appreciate your nurturing, your inspiration, your encouragement, your companionship, and everything that you brought to us as your children, husbands, brothers, fathers, uncles, cousins, whomever, whatever. We really appreciate you, and I want to say offer that to you initially in the opening of the show. And you know what? I'm going to read something that I've and I think I'm going to make this a permanent part of the show. This is the opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson in 1776. It states as follows: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Let me just restate a part of that that I think is so significant. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All men, not all rich, not all poor, not all of any ethnic group. This is in your Constitution. I've had people try to explain to me, people of my ethnic persuasion suggest to me, well, they didn't think of us, they didn't listen. Consideration is of no significance to me. I only know what's written right here. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. All men are created equal. And if you want to argue, don't argue with me. Argue with the Constitution, the one that you salute, the one that you pledge allegiance to. And, you know, that's one thing that I wanted to submit early in the show, because I've had some discussions with individuals who for some reason feel they are supremely endowed with some superior power, some inherent position in life, that they should be have everyone else be subordinate. And to let you know, I'm a mother's son, and I'm no more subordinate than you are. You're no more dominant than I am. And as long as you remember that, we'll do just fine. Anyway, talking about Cinco de Mayo, what is Cinco de Mayo? Some of you may be interested in it, some of you may not be interested. But I took the time to look it up, a little bit of information on Cinco de Mayo. It's a holiday held on May the 5th. It's celebrated nationwide in the United States and regionally in Mexico, primarily in the state of Puebla. The date is observed in the United States as a celebration of Mexican heritage and pride, and to commemorate the cause of freedom and democracy during the first years of the American Civil War. In the state of Puebla, the date is observed to commemorate the Mexican Army's unlikely victory over French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May the 5th, 1862, under the leadership of Ignacio Zaragoza Seguin. Contrary to widespread popular belief, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican's Independence Day. The most important national patriotic holiday in Mexico, which occurs on September the 16th, that's it says September, I believe is what they say. Anyway, events leading to Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo has its roots in the French occupation of Mexico, which took place in the aftermath of the Mexican-American War in 1846 through 48. The Mexican Civil War of 1858 and the 1860 Reform Wars. These wars left Mexico's treasury in ruins and nearly bankrupt. On July the 17th, 1861, Mexican President Benito Juarez issued a moratorium in which all foreign debt payments would be suspended for 2 years. In response, France, Britain, and Spain sent naval forces to Veracruz to demand reimbursement. Britain and Spain negotiated with Mexico and withdrew. But France, at the time ruled by Napoleon III, decided to use the opportunity to establish a Latin empire in Mexico that would favor French interest, the Second Mexican Empire. Here's an important bit of information. The French invasion. Late in 1861, a well-armed French fleet stormed Veracruz, landing a large French force and driving President Juarez and his government into retreat. Moving on from Veracruz toward Mexico City, the French army encountered heavy resistance from the Mexicans near Puebla at the Mexican forts of Laredo and Guadalupe. The 8,000-strong French army attacked the much more poorly equipped Mexican army of 4,000. Yet on May the 5th, 1862, the Mexicans managed to decisively crush the French army, the best army of the time. You know, that's a little bit of inspiration for me. Let me reread that for you. Late in 1861, a well-armed French fleet stormed Veracruz, landing a large French force, driving President Juarez and his government into retreat. Moving on from Veracruz toward Mexico City, the French army encountered heavy resistance from the Mexicans near Puebla at the Mexican forts of Loreto and Guadalupe. The 8,000-strong French army attacked the much more poorly equipped Mexican army of 4,000. Yet, on May the 5th, 1862, the Mexicans managed to decisively crush the French army, the best army at the time. 8,000, 4,000. 2-1 odds. And the Mexicans, they didn't realize that the odds were against them, so they just summarily defeated the French, which to me is symbolic of the situation that we as voters find ourselves in. We have an opportunity to be strategic in our ability to work toward passing legislation that would be of tremendous benefit to us as voters. But we have to not be convinced prior to an engagement that we could possibly be defeated. You see, because defeat to me actually occurs in the mind before it occurs physically. And I've seen so many individuals that I've been associated with, they prescribe and describe themselves defeated well before they've ever been engaged in a skirmish or a battle, right? So I suggest that, a person arms themselves intellectually and begins to defend themselves intellectually and strategically, and there are very few things that can be accomplished by us as citizens of the United States of America. You know, one of the stories that has been in the forefront for the last several weeks, month or so, has been about a guy named Donald Trump. I guess I call him Donald Trump. It says, this is by Dr. Boyce Watkins, professor at Syracuse University. And this was posted in the Huffington Post politics section. And this was 5/1/211 at 3:51 p.m. is the dateline. And what Dr. Boyce, B-O-Y-C-E, Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S, says, like nearly every other black man in America, I've been taken aback by the manner through which Donald Trump, or Chump, has used racist code language to undermine the presidency of Barack Obama. After first wondering if he was born in the United States, Chump has made reference to Obama playing too much basketball to pay attention to the prices of gasoline and even questioned whether or not he truly earned the grades necessary to get him into Harvard Law School. Even if the president somehow slithered his way into Harvard, I can't imagine an unqualified student being chosen as the first black editor of the Harvard Law Review. Chump's questionable behavior is being called for what it is, for even Bob Schieffer from CBS has made reference to Chump's ugly strain of racism, unquote. Many of Chump's fellow Republicans are running for the hills, as one of the most visible leaders has engaged in incredibly odd behavior. But when I analyze, and this is Dr. Boyce Watkins speaking, but when I analyze Chump's statements objectively, he says Trump statements. I say Chump, but because I have a lisp, so I say Chump instead of Trump. Sometimes I get confused. But anyway, when I analyze Chump's statements objectively, I must confess that the business school professor in me doesn't understand his choice one bit. One of the first rules of Corporate America 101 is to avoid any serious controversy, especially religious or political, for this additional volatility almost never helps the bottom line. Cases in point are the recent boycott against Chick-fil-A by the gay community for standing against gay marriage and the price of that Oprah Winfrey pay, that Oprah Winfrey paid for jumping out to support President Barack Obama. Mind you, Winfrey's price was minimal because her behavior was carefully planned, but Trump seems to be determined to destroy every business in which he is currently invested. Viewers are now running away from The Apprentice television show. I never watched it personally. Me, I didn't. But this is Dr. Boyce Watkins speaking. Viewers are now running away from The Apprentice television show in droves, with advertiser boycotts being launched by several groups across the nation. Also, I can't imagine any Obama supporter being excited about staying in a hotel with a name Trump in front of it. Trump's tirades will cost him billions. His shareholders and employees will suffer. And after it's all said and done, he still won't have a chance to be president, to become president. I seriously wonder what's happened to Donald Trump. The calculated behavior that helped him rise to the top of the business world is nowhere to be found as he runs from one network to another pursuing his vendetta against President Obama. Could it be ego? Could Trump be losing it? Perhaps he is simply a disgruntled white male who has a tough time transitioning to a growingly inclusive America. Let me reread that paragraph. And this is Dr. Boyce Watkins. And let me look at what Dr. Boyce Watkins' credentials are. Professor at Syracuse University. Dr. Watkins says, I seriously wonder what's happened to Donald Trump. The calculated behavior that helped him rise to the top of the business world is nowhere to be found as he runs from one network to another pursuing his vendetta against President Obama. Could it be ego? Could it be Trump being, could Trump be losing it? Perhaps he is simply a disgruntled white male who has a tough time transitioning to a growingly inclusive America. Whatever the reason for Donald Trump's most recent behavior, the price is going to be steep. His status as a cultural icon, political leader, and cooperative captain are all in jeopardy and probably won't ever recover again. If I had to be honest, I'd say that deep down, there's a part of me that feels sorry for Donald Trump. Well, just a little bit. And I want to thank Dr. Boyce Watkins for that very informative, insightful piece that he wrote for the Huffington Post politics section, or at least they picked it up and printed it for him. And I think it was also in, if I'm not mistaken, The Loop and maybe even The Grill. So I want to thank Dr. Boyce Watkins for that insight. Greatly appreciated. And I think a very timely piece that he provided. to give us some insight into what might be occurring in the mind of the tremendous icon, the business icon, Mr. Donald Trump. That's right, Donald Trump. Anyway, we'll be right back with another look at a little bit more information right after this brief musical interlude.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty."
Minutes past 7:24 right here in West Texas, and I'd like to to let you know that that was Crosswalk Coalition, C-R-O-S-S-W-A-L-K, Crosswalk, C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N, and you can find them on Facebook. And I want to say hello to my dear sisters, India Declare and Sister Navazora in the chat room. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being there. And I want to give you some information about my dear sisters. And they, let me tell you, they do it real big right here on Blog Talk Radio. And they have two wonderful shows. Sister India Declare is on daily at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time right here on a Blog Talk Radio. And she'll have her show on tomorrow, I'm sure. And if not, she'll correct me. But she does it real raw and right now. And when I tell you that, I'm not overstating the case at all. You need to check her out. She's very informative, very well informed, and very insightful and inspirational. A tremendously great benefit to me, and a wonderful inspiration to me. And again, her show is the India 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 DECLAIR India Declare. Type that in the Blog Talk search block, BLOG, Blog Talk, TALK, Radio, RADIO, BTR, Blog Talk Radio, search block, India Declare, and it'll give you all the relevant and pertinent information about her. Don't miss her show tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I believe it's Monday through Friday now, sis. Let me check back in the chat room and make sure that I get this right. I hope I'm getting it right. There we go. Am I right, sis? Is it? I'm hoping I'm getting this right. She is a very modest person. No. She's no way. Sis, I'm not near kind enough. You don't know how much you inspire. You inspire me. You and Sister Navazon. I really appreciate you guys. But I have it right then. So it's at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. You got to check this show out. I'm serious. Tomorrow, I think, will be Brother Steins. He'll be on with some information about, if I'm not mistaken, if the format's still the same, with the sports community. And you would be surprised how that sports ties into the community concerns as well as political concerns. And it's just an abundance of information right there for you every day on Blog Talk Radio, and she is very serious about what she does. And if I understood it correctly the last time I had a chance to listen to her show, she's going to be doing a book, and I'm so looking forward to it. I really am, and I hope that I can get a – I'll pay extra if I can get an autographed copy of it, because I'm telling you, I really appreciate her very, very much. And Sister Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1, she comes on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That would be 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Wonderful show, very inspirational, relaxing show. Kind of gets you a little bit in the mood to have your mind open. It's like a mental massage is what it's like, and it's a wonderful show, intellectual mental massage. It kind of relaxes you and gets you ready for the week coming up. And I just love her show. Love the little lady. I've only met her on Blog Talk Radio, and she's been a tremendous and wonderful personality ever since I've had a chance to have made her acquaintance, as well as my dear Sister India Declare. Wonderful. And Sister India is informative news, current events is what I'm trying to say. And Sister Navazor is community concerns, and it's a different type of an approach, and the two balance each other so wonderfully well. I hope you get a chance to check her out, Sister Navazor, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I also like to mention Sister Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, Janice Graham, Our Common Ground. Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. She has a wonderful cadre of shows, Blog Talk Radio shows, J-A-N-I-C-E. Come to Blog Talk Radio and just type in the search block, J-A-N-I-C-E, G-R-A-H-A-M, and it'll give you the relevant and pertinent information necessary to find her right here on Blog Talk Radio. There are wonderful shows on Blog Talk Radio. If you wanted to diversify your internet experience, you know, I don't know what is customary for you, but you know, I had been a chat room guy. There are some rooms where you can go play music, and you know, I played bridge, and a lot of people wanted. My mom got me started playing bridge, but anyway. So I find some of those venues, and I am so grateful that I found Blog Talk Radio with the information and exposure that I've had through shows like Sister Indy Declare's show, Real Raw Right Now, and Sister Navazar's show on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sister Janice Graham, who has several hosts in her network. And also I'd like to mention Miss Quiet Storm. And again, and I know Sister Navazar hopefully will be coming out with a book sooner or later, but Sister India Declare, I'll be keeping you posted on all the information about her book, because I know without question of doubt it's going to be very entertaining. Miss Quiet Storm, MSQUIETSTORM, all one word. She comes on Saturday at 9 a.m. PST, Pacific, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And her show it has a tremendous amount of variety to it. She's interviewed. I've heard her interview different celebrities and a singer. I can't think of the lady's name as usual, but it was a wonderful interview that she did. And she also has a tremendous concern and as we all do, as all the hosts that you will hear on here, I say. Hosts of my ethnic persuasion and of several different ethnic persuasions have a tremendous investment in our communities. We try to provide any information, inspiration, encouragement that we can for our different communities. Since, as you know, corporate media doesn't seem, they don't have the ability nor the time do they have to invest in our communities. Therefore, we have to take it upon ourselves. And as I say, I've just fallen into the crowd, to the group. It was already here, well established before I got here, as I've said and continue to say and continue to implore you to listen to these shows. And I think that you will be wonderfully benefited by your exposure to these shows, Sister India Declare, Sister Navazar, Miss Janice Graham shows, and Miss Quiet Storm. Each one is unique and has a totally different approach to current events as well as issues of tremendous community concern, because we all know that we have to band together and support our community and to provide some type of leadership for our youth and our community, as well as, you know, those people who've been just horrendously impacted by any number of circumstances and events that were of not of their making, or just pure coincidence. And as I always say, but by the grace of God, there go I. You know, it's not as if I have been wonderfully equipped with some phenomenal ability to avoid a downturn in society or financial or whatever, and it is just by the grace of God and that's whom I choose to call my higher power, and I have constant a few debates with it with some of my friends. Some are agnostic, some are iconoclistic, some are of different religious persuasions. And I don't try to encourage them necessarily to become a part of my religious persuasion, nor do, you know, I appreciate and admire them, and I listen to some of their precepts and perspectives, and I'm encouraged by them. And we, I think, can share something that transcends the barriers that a lot of us find in regard to religion, which is our concerns for humanity. And trying to do the best that we can to make contributions that could be a contributory toward successes, individual, communal, regional, national, international, universal. That's, to me, I think, one reason that you find us, some of the hosts, and as I say, trust me, I'm one of the smaller guys, not in stature, but in presence here on this particular network. But I love it, and I'm greatly appreciative to be associated with these wonderful people. Trust me. And I'd like to mention Dr. Reba, The Covenant Connection. This is her new book, and it's Your Best Marriage Now, www.rebahaley.com. And you can pick up on that book. And Dr. Reba has some wonderful insights. She's a tremendously well-educated individual. She is very diverse. And if you go to her site, it will give you a complete description of and biography of what some of her accomplishments have been. www.rebahaley.com. And I always like to mention Miss Blue. I've never met Miss Blue, but I've been associated with her for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And she's a life coach, and she, you know, she has she gave me this information. I'll pass along to you. It says, call and get your blue crystal. It's at 641-715-3800. That the access code is 10569. It says, know your magic. And this is what a lot of us talk about, and this is what Ms. Blue specializes in, is having you to know your magic. And it says, line now open to everyone in the universe. She is a life coach, and she will share this information with you graciously and generously. So just give her a chance and take a listen to what she has to say. And that's Miss Blue, MSBLUE. You can come to Blog Talk Radio, type her in the search bar, and you'll find her and all the information relevant to her. Brother Alfo, let me say hello to Brother Alfo. I don't know if he's in the chat. I haven't had a chance to get back. I'm reading off of my material, but my prepared material, trying to get it more together. A-L-F-O, Alfo. And he's on Blog Talk Radio, 2 p.m. Saturday on Truth Works Network, Miss Janice Graham's network. The Alpha Show on Truth Works Network, and it's called Just Damn, Political Pushback Radio. So you got to check out Brother Alpha. This guy has statistics. Where I try to provide a little bit of inspiration, Brother Alpha has statistics and inspiration. So and you don't want to miss his show either. And that's 2 p.m. Saturday, and that's, I believe, Central Standard Time. And so that'll be 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's on the every Saturday, Brother Alpha. And he has check out ALFO, Block Talk Radio Search Block, ALFO, and you'll get the information necessary to find Brother Alpha and what he does. Sister Carlotta Chadwood and her show. It's a wonderful show. She's you'd have to look her up. I had intended that I was going to get her information, but I didn't do it this time, so hopefully I'll do it next time. But Carlotta Chadwood had a chance to be on her show on a call-in, and she was very gracious, and I really appreciated getting a chance to meet her and checking out her show. And it's diverse. The one that I happened to be on was, Do Black Men Have a Lack of Respect for Black Women? So that topic itself should give you an idea as to some of the opportunities you can have to interact with each other and to provide your unique insight and perspective into some of the situations and circumstances that we all are involved in these days, in addition to just living. And whenever you get off and you kick back, relax, and kick your shoes off, you know, put your laptop in your lap, pull up a Blog Talk Radio, look up some of these shows, get your cell phone, and get ready to call, because I guarantee you they're going to incite you to call. It's no doubt about it. They just have that kind of command with the topics and the hosts that they have and also the guests that they have. Harlem Talk Radio, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Harlem Talk Radio, H-A-R-L-E-M-T-A-L-K Radio. Harlem Talk Radio, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Wonderful show. Check them out. The Original Poetry After Dark, old school, that's the old school battle. This is by The Poetess, D-P-O-E-T-E-S-S. Type her in the search block, The Poetess. And it's spoken word and poetry, and it is some wonderful poetry. All different kinds. If you're not ready, if you're not an adult, I would advise you to get your adult credentials before you sign into this show, because it goes all over the place. And it, I mean, wonderful, descriptive, enrapturing, captivating, scintillating, tantalating, whatever you might want to describe it as. She has some wonderful shows right there on the original Poetry After Dark. That's by The Poetess. She's heard Fridays and Tuesdays, I believe, at 11 p.m. That's 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. 12 a.m. Central Standard Time. And that is all about poetry. And Candy the Poetress, Candy the Poetress, thank you. You got a chance to visit with her. She and I are friends or whatever, and I get a chance to look at some of her stuff. She's on my Facebook page, and she drops some knowledge there on it. Candy the Poetress, and a wonderful young lady that I've had a chance to have an acquaintance with here on Block Talk Radio. Never met any of my friends that I know of, but I'm just very encouraged by the things that they do. They are so energetic, and they put it out there for us to have a chance to take a look at and be inspired as we do whatever the other things are we do at home. Reach out, job search. Got a chance to listen to her Thursdays at 6 p.m. She comes on earlier, and this is with host Monica R.W. Then also let me mention Jay Early, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y. Type it into your Blog Talk search block. And Gary McCants, spiritual information right there on Blog Talk Radio, GARYMCCANTS. And I think that's it. I got everybody in. And I always like to do that because I want everyone to know that all this variety is available. And make yourself an appointment to check out some of these other the other shows, and please, you will. It's a feast. It's a total enjoyment. It relaxes your mind. It also stimulates you. It gives you an opportunity. Whereas you listen to stuff at work, you can't say or engage in some of the conversations or whatever, and some of the thoughts don't come to you at that point in time. When you listen to some of these shows, give us a call in, and we'll be more than happy to entertain your comments and your perspectives on different issues. As always, and by the way, you're listening to the Next Phase with Ice and Friends right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can give us a call at 347-945-7040, or you can contact me at blakicz.1@gmail.com. And let's see, I was going to try to pull up some more information for you. And some of the issues that I found that were relevant and pertinent this particular week, you know, I find myself kind of avoiding the 111. I see you. Let me put you on 111. You're on the air right now. 111. Can you hear me?
I don't know if I'm 111 or not.
There you are. Hey there, Mr. Rabia. Mr. Rabia. You know, I miss you. Hey, let me tell you something. I got a problem with you.
I've been on since 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. You've been on about 45 minutes then.
Mm-hmm. Just been listening.
Well, see, what I have to do is I have to, since, you know, I'm a poor guy, and I have to, you know, do my shows. I flip-flop on one screen. Some of the more, you know, financially well-endowed individuals have 3-4 screens or whatever, you know, more professional. My day's coming. Hopefully I get a chance to retire within the next year or so, and maybe I get it put together a little bit better. But anyway, Sister Rabia Ahmed, thank you for joining us. Can I give you an intro? Do you mind? Hello?
Hello?
Can I give you an intro?
Sure.
All right. This is Sister Rabia Ahmed, the organizer of SMART. Single Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, right?
The office is in Swarthmore. We're providing services in Chester, Pennsylvania, and Delaware County.
Okay. And you know, give me your site again.
www.smarttochange.com. And I'm sorry, it's not .com, it's .org. And we're I think it's down while they're doing it over again.
That's what I've been going through. Okay, yeah,
they're adding more things and adding pictures and of some of the fairs that we've done.
Great.
It should be back up probably in a couple of weeks.
Mhm.
Mhm.
So how's it going? Is it excuse me just a second. Ugh. This is so dry. You know how dry it is in West Texas?
Yes, I do.
It hasn't rained since August last year.
A lot of rain.
Oh, I know you have. Why don't you share it with us?
I'll be more than happy to.
But how are things with SMART2Change.org?
Things are going pretty well. Things are going pretty well. We got a few contracts, and there's a young lady who she's 22 or 23,
mm-hmm.
and she made a bad decision a few years ago, which
mm-hmm.
landed her some time in prison. She has two children,
right. mm-hmm.
and I hired her. And nobody would give her a job because of her record.
Hmm.
And I gave her a job. And one of the things I like about SMART is the gratification of helping somebody.
Right.
You know, when somebody comes and says, I need a job, won't nobody give me a job
uh-huh.
because of my record. And she's so energetic and, you know, she
right.
she just made a bad choice. And she was just so happy, and she's really doing well. She's really doing well.
You know what? It's one thing. Well, how is your dad doing?
My dad is fine. My thank you.
He asked about you.
Yeah,
tell him, man. I said hi. I was so impressed.
He wanted to know when was he coming back on. I said, just call.
You know what? It's the floor is open to you, he, and you know, my sister's in the room, Sister Navazar, Sister India. They don't come on, but the floor is always, I promise you, always open. Is that your phone there?
No, I turned it off.
Oh, well. But anyway, you got to tell him hello for me, please. I'm so grateful to have a chance to visit with him and you, you know, because my baby girl, my oldest daughter, I got my three boys and my two girls, and my baby girl's birthday is tomorrow, but, you know, she's the one that's...
Hello, I said happy birthday.
Well, thank you, I will. You know, my oldest one, she's a nurse, and then the baby girl, she's trying to teach school. But you know what? It's interesting that you bring the subject up about the young lady who is having a difficult time with this being Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
deal with mothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And you know what? My belief, my exposure to recovery. And when I say recovery, I'm talking recovery of all different. My particular recovery was recover from drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the experiences, and you know, a lot of people. I was really dismayed with Charlie Sheen when he saying those disparaging words about AA, because there are so many people who don't have any other opportunity except a program like, you know, AA or some program that's very, you know, reasonably inexpensive like yours,
mm-hmm.
that reaches out and still has some, because this guy's, what, $1 million a show or something, and he was asking for three, and he then just disparages volunteer organizations, people who reach out in the community and help people to recover from whatever the travails. that they've fallen prey to as a result of, you know, different circumstances and situation life, you know, has out there, you know, in one shape, form, or fashion or another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with yours is more organized. Well, do you use AA, for instance, or NA? I was in both, NA and AA.
Do I?
Do you use any of the, do you refer anyone to those programs?
Yeah, most
the
people.
The programs?
Yeah, most people know about the programs because they're so nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially when it comes to the women,
mm-hmm.
most of the women know about NA and AA, and a lot of them still go to those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll tell me, you know, I just came from an NA meeting, or I'm about to go to an NA meeting. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they're very familiar.
Right.
And I encourage them, any type of support,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
right.
that is out there. You know, I encourage the women that come to SMART for assistance
mm-hmm.
to take advantage
right.
of some of those programs, because those are good programs if you allow them to work.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sister Rabia, you know, my experience, well, like I say, my dry date is August 22nd, 1988.
Wow.
And I had a chance, you know, I think, let me say, the 12-step program for me, I went into, I had to go into a clinic. Some kind of care unit. And it was 28 days long, and you know, because I was like 36 when I got into this situation. I was gainfully employed. I was making nice money, and I had been presented with the decision to either continue to pursue my drugs or continue to pursue my career, and
mm-hmm.
having a wife at the time and two children. Or well, I think I was divorced, but I had, you know, the responsibility of two children and my wife and so I chose to go into that program and at either that or lose my job,
mm-hmm.
and I really thought I had. I mean, I wasn't robbing anybody. I didn't do any heinous acts to anybody. I mean, I have enough money to support what I. All I did was just smoke a little bit of weed or whatever, and I thought
mm-hmm.
I was doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that I hadn't developed a lot of coping skills that I needed, you know, because for instance, I was from that era of you step on my shoes and I'm going to just, you know, think we ought to just get on down with it. You know, don't step
mm-hmm.
on my shoes. And one of the things, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, and the guy that was my counselor
mm-hmm.
was a cowboy, tall, lanky cowboy. And down here in Texas, I just really didn't have a lot of appreciation for cowboys. He was an Anglo dude. He was like 20 years recovering off of coke, freebasing, and so forth, you know. But anyway, he asked me, so what am I doing in there? We had a blue book the blue book meeting, then we turn around and do a circle deal
mm-hmm.
with, you know, a counsel of the therapy session. And
mm-hmm.
he asked me, what are you doing in here? More or less like that. He wasn't looking at me. Man, it made me mad, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I've been on, I integrated a lot of several jobs. And
mm-hmm.
the job I'm on now, I've been on it for like almost 33 years. And prior to that, I'd been on a job for like 6 or 7 years. And, you know, it was a lot of prejudice on these jobs. And you had to bite your tongue or you'd get fired. And so, and I thought, now this is the epitome of dissing me. I mean, here I am. I put up with this junk on the job, and so I consider what I was doing was self-medicating. And then he's going to come in here after I come in trying to recover, and he's going to climb on my back. Of course, I was the only brother in this particular group.
Right.
And I told him, I leaned up because I was like, ready, let's do this, you know. I said, prejudiced people make me angry.
Hmm.
Yeah, and he never looked up. He was dealing with his head slumped down. He was slinked down in his chair, had his leg crossed, and he was a real confident guy, you know. And he never looked at me, and he said, "You know, people don't make you angry," and that made me mad. He said, "You make yourself angry."
Mm-hmm.
And then I was really steamed up, and I was getting ready to say something real bad to him. And then I thought about what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I entertained, is this a possibility that people can't make me angry? Maybe I do, you know. And the point he was making was, it's how I take it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And so, anyway, I sat back and I thought about it. And from that point forward, I began to open my mind to the idea that anger is a choice, and I can act on it in many different ways. And one way that I could use it as a motivating tool to inspire me to more dedicate myself to success, whatever I deem success to be, which happened to be becoming more informed, more enlightened.
Right.
You know, better intellectually equipped.
Right.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no.
But so anyway, then there was another situation, and you know we had to pick five things that we could use to keep ourselves clean, and I picked. Of course, a lot of people say it's a atheistic program. No, it's not. It's a program that's not so involved and engaged with your religious perspective as it is your recovery. So they don't tell you that you have to be a quote-unquote Christian because they deal with so many different people with so many differing religious or non-religious perspectives. So they say you choose the power of your choosing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know. And my higher power, whom I choose to call God, that's, you know, not to knock anybody else, that's who I choose to call. So I had to pray. I had to read the blue book, the big book, read the Bible, make meetings, give me a sponsor, and do my steps. I had about six things that were my directives in order for me to attain sobriety and then sustain sobriety. See, achieving sobriety, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing, but to try to sustain it and still deal with all the adversities that you come in contact with in life is a whole totally different thing. And it wasn't like that the drugs that I used were going away. I had to remove myself, change people, places, and things. I had to remove myself. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, and what I chose to do was stay in my house. You know, I live by myself. I just stay away from people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and so my objective was, to the best of my ability, that drugs are not an option, no matter how good I felt, no matter how bad I felt. And through that exposure and discovery, I came to another conclusion, which is failure is not an option. You know, and so, but and we would go to 12-step meetings, and I tried to make, if it was five in a day, and I could make them, if I was on my off days, and I could make five, I could make one at 7, one at 11, one at 6, and one at 9, I'd make every 12-step meeting I could make. And, you know, we had the HUDs and all this kind of stuff, and you would think, based on that environment, that you, and it helps to have you more well-equipped when you get out into, you know, reality and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't mean to be talking so much. But you know me, so
that's quite all right. It was just funny when you had mentioned drug is not an option, and criminal behavior is not an option.
It's
right. just funny because today, you know, I also work at one of the state prisons. And
right.
today I was just telling my group
mm-hmm.
the same thing because they were saying how, you know, it's just funny how there are a lot of people that this is how they were raised. They were raised in indulging in criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were indulging in drugs and just being addicted to, you know, sex, drugs, you know,
mm-hmm.
gambling, all types of things. And
mm-hmm.
one of the inmates was saying how, you know, he doesn't have no other alternative that, you know, I have, you know, when I go out, I have to sell drugs. I have to take care of my family. I have to,
mm-hmm.
you know, feed my children. And I said, that's not an option, though. You know, because it's a no-win situation, and this is where SMART, you know, comes into play. That, you know, dealing with the women and the children
mm-hmm.
from SMART, that
mm-hmm.
We have to get them to change their way of thinking so that their behavior will change. And
mm-hmm.
it made me think of this young man. His way of thinking is just twisted because
mm-hmm.
he has not been taught an alternative way to think.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, this is how he thinks. He can't go past, I have to sell drugs, I have to rob people, I have to, you know, hold up stores and burglarize people's houses, and this is what I have to do to take care of my family. So he
mm-hmm.
doesn't have no other alternative. No other alternative has been presented to him. Product of his environment, I guess.
Well, yeah, and you know, I had someone say to me who will remain nameless. You know, I want to say welcome to guest 20227. Thank you for joining us in the chat room, and thanks, Sister India Declare, and thanks, Sister Navazar One. But you know, one of the things that I understand having. That, I mean, I really understand having that back against it. And see, this is why your types of programs are so significant. Is because, and what, if people don't understand, and this is, see, my deal is, what I do on here is a lot political. And one of the reasons that I do things a lot political is because of the fact that you can change. It was what I call strategic voting, not emotional voting. You can change your literal lifestyle whenever you begin to form coalitions and have, you know, you have to develop constituent bases, because when you look at what's happening in Detroit, when you look at what's happening in Wisconsin, when you look at what's happening in Ohio and Maine and Florida and even in Texas. You know, when you look at what I was listening to a guy, I think his name was Warren Ballantyne or something like that today,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about they were shrinking the number of teachers, increasing the class size to potentially or possibly 60 students in a classroom. See, those are being designed and engineered for failure, but. You know, and see, I've really more or less kind of given up on the religious community, because I had anticipated that the religious community, you know, some of the leaders in the community would step forth I'm not going to knock them, I'm just giving you my opinion on them, because I'm a product of a religious background fundamentally. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things that to me we have to realize and is for me not to start dogging out the religious community until I'm willing to step up and do what I can do.
Right.
And you understand what I'm saying?
If
the least that I can do is make a $5 contribution to SMART or another self-help group, you know, because I expected that, but you know, there's so much, you know, so much different inner religious politics involved anymore. And you know, the church is so, it's changed. In a way, it is changed. It's changed from being community oriented to, you know, in my mind, and I, you know, I stand to be corrected. And you know, and if you want to give us a call, 347-945-7040. 5 minutes past 8:05 p.m. right here in West Texas. I think it's 9:05 down there, right there in.
It's 9:05.
Yeah, hour ahead of me. I'm always late, but you know. But you know, the thing of it is that you know that one of the things that I found is there's a lot of guys that come in the 12-step program. That when I was involved in it, you know, very, very involved in it. And these guys would get 2-3 weeks clean.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a month clean. And we used to have chips. I love my chips. I used to have them, those keychains.
The keychains, mm-hmm.
About 15 inches long. I loved them. My first day, second, whatever, 30 days, 60, 90. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I fought for that. I fought to stay clean. I mean, I really wanted to stay clean. That was really, you know, my family and all that, God, my family, whatever. But my main priority, I couldn't be available for anybody if I wasn't clean myself.
Right.
And you know, but anyway, the point of it is these guys would come in and they get 30 days clean. And the first thing they wanted to do was go to church because they wanted to take their sobriety and say, see, I'm not as bad as what you thought I was.
Sure.
I'm getting clean. Well, what they don't realize and what I would try to tell them is that person in that church or that community, just like me, for instance, when I was getting clean, you know, the little place that I was from, I was the dope head. When I came back home, people would say to me, oh, I thought you had died. I heard somebody told me you OD'd.
Hey.
So, yeah, for real. You know? And I mean, that was like, whoa. But see, people wanted to maintain that elevation above you that they had when you were, you know, in your element, whatever it was that you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to continually refer to you and say, oh, he think he's something. But I can remember when he used to get loaded and he's, you know. Well, the point of it is that if the really the Holy Spirit's in me, I'm going to want to put my arm around you. And I'm going to want to encourage you. But see, what that does is that challenges a lot of people's egos. That threatens a lot of people. Whenever a person starts getting clean, then all of a sudden those people, the dynamic that they had established initially, when they could condescend and be above and speak down to you, it begins to change. And so then people, you can watch a person's the content of their spirituality, because a person to
mm-hmm.
me who is a confident spiritual individual, they don't have a problem dealing with you on whatever your level is.
Right.
And I don't have a problem being humble by anybody. I don't care
right.
if you're much smarter than me, whatever, or much more wealthy than me. You know, maybe I might ask you a question like, how do you do it? How did you do it? I'm not going to be angry with you because of your accomplishments, because I can't carry you around in my head every day talking about, oh, Rabia thinks she's something. You know,
mm-hmm.
she just makes me, you know, I can't afford it. I don't have enough room in my head to rent space out to a lot of people. You know, I have to be, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
And what I came to realize initially was that I never had an original thought, and this is one thing that the 12-step program taught me. So I wasn't burdened by being the sharpest knife in the drawer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have
mm-hmm.
to be the coolest, you know, most insightful individual. I was just a dude, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I just had some ideas, and I either read them, heard them, or somebody referred them to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you pass them along. And so I don't, but as long as I was trying to carry that weight of outdoing somebody, oh, I got a better car than you, Oh, I got more money than you. I wear better clothes than you. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, it was a burden. And so there's a lot of people, in my opinion, a lot of brothers, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of brothers. I'm so appreciative for these guys. I've been my second ex-wife. I've been married twice, but she had some relatives that were involved in some facilities that I went to, and these guys, like, you know, I think you and I, we've talked about this. These dudes were, man, they pumped iron. They had clothes ironed so that you could cut butter with their pants, creases in the pants and shine shoes and everything like that. But, you know, whenever a person's locked up, that whole family's locked up.
That's another thing that we was talking about, that when you come to prison, that you take your family with you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing that time by yourself. You know,
right.
you've also made your families, you know, suffer and become incarcerated because you're incarcerated. They don't
right.
see that, you know, but we bring it to their attention all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
just so they
know.
Can...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Just so they could change their way of thinking. You know,
well,
that's so very important.
You know, and a family like, for instance, her family, and even mine. I had a relative that stayed in a lot of trouble. And you try to encourage them, you know, not to. And I understand. I was susceptible. It's only, like I say, by God's grace that I wasn't locked up indefinitely. Who knows? I mean, I've done some pretty rough stuff out there, you know. But fortunately, I didn't. And so it's like, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible somewhere, I can't remember, I have it written down, talks about a talent, you know, that some people had one talent, or one person did, and another one had five. And the one that had the one talent, they would hide it under the bushel because they were embarrassed by the one that had five. And so then God took that talent away from them because he said, you know, more or less, if you can't use your talent. And what I made my determination was that I'm going to wear my talent out. I mean, it's going to be so frayed. It's going to have holes in it that when God gets it back, he's going to say, man, I can't use this. Because I'm grateful for it. If whatever the little tiny bit that I was granted, I want to use it. And you know, like I say, if I can share something with some brothers, you know, or some sisters, then I want them to realize that, like this one guy would say, he said, I'm a convict. I said, no, you're not a convict. I said, you've been incarcerated. A convict, it makes you adapt a certain mentality. And they may call you that, but you don't have to incorporate that into your way of being.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it is. I was listening to him today talking about how hard and difficult it is to get jobs. And, you know, my thought is, you know, and in the city, see, the reason I hesitate so much when I talk is that I realize that in different geographical areas, for instance, in large cities like Philly and, you know, Boston or New York or some of the larger metropolitan areas where people choose to make their home, Atlanta, whatever, L.A., whatever, it's a little bit more difficult than it is where I am. Down here where I am in rural Texas, people will hire you to do certain things. Which, you know, I had a relative tell me, I said, you got a job? He said, no, I got a record. And I said, dude, let me tell you something. If you got a shovel doo-doo, you better get out there and do that and get comfortable with it. You know, don't think that you're too good to do it. I would do it, me personally. I'm not just talking to him like, oh, you know, I've done, you know. I would do whatever I had to. And then I would put myself in the paper and say, I shovel and I'm the best. People would call me and say, well, would you come shovel? Because a lot of people don't want to do that.
They sure don't.
You know, there are so many things, and those are the type, you know, for instance, a roofing. A lot of people, you know, but when you go and do this stuff, you're going to be working up beside a dude that comes from a different country, and this dude's going to be getting down with it. I mean, that's his thing. He don't care how many bundles of shingles he's got to carry, how much tar paper, how many nails. He's doing his thing, and I have to be that competitive because I want to be if I want to have that, I want to have that truck someday. I want to be the one driving around picking up people. Hey, you want to go with me today? Do a couple of days, do a day's work or something like that. And to me, it's possible. I know it's difficult, but to me, there is a difference between something being difficult and something being impossible.
Right.
You know. So, but I'm just saying that to my idea, your what you do with encouraging the. And not only just encouraging, it's one thing to encourage, and it's another thing to provide those opportunities. And have you not developed programs? Isn't that what you told me? You in order for you to get whatever it is you got, your what do you call that thing?
What? What?
When they gave you that, what I'm trying to say, it's like they gave you that, I forget what you call it, but you had to show them, here, I got this program to address this issue.
To get funding, you're talking about?
Well, not just funding, but before you could be established as a self-help organization.
What the nonprofit status?
No, not just the nonprofit status. Didn't you have to prepare programs that
proposal?
Would address your? No, programs.
Yeah.
That would address. Now you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have. I wrote about 8. Or 9 programs from
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, the programs are like coping skills and life skills training, violence prevention, batters, parenting, art therapy for children. Some stuff like that. I think it's 2 more I'm leaving out.
Well, that's okay. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that was the composition that you had before you ever even went. Because I've had friends of mine say, well, I would do this. And I said, but you don't understand. It's okay what you would do. But in order to do that, these are some of the things you're going to have to put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that you – because initially what you had was an idea. Right, I want to help people. General idea. Now, specifically, in order for me to help people, I have to come up with a program on life skills, a program on coping, a program on batters, violence prevention, program on, you know, whatever, conflict resolution. Each one of those specific programs took you some time to develop and to first conceptualize, then to develop. And then to put it down in an achievable format. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I'm not even finished it yet. I'm doing a whole big program on the reentry services for the women when they come out of prison, because there are a lot more women in prison nowadays. I don't know what the ratio is in regards to the men, but there's a lot of women that are coming out of prison and, trying to get their life in order, you know, trying to obtain adequate housing for their children. You know, we even have a meeting set up with HUD for, you know, to try to get some affordable housing, you know, for some of these women and their children. That's a real big problem in Pennsylvania. You know, housing,
right.
And them finding jobs, because a lot of people will not hire them if they have a record. But anyway, I have to go.
Okay.
I have to finish alongside of SMART. I have to finish a project for school before I go to sleep.
I know.
But you know how my days are.
Well, I don't know, but I kind of know.
Yeah. You know, they're just busy all the time.
But you know what, yeah. Sister Rabia, I'm going to talk with you. You know that, and I was intending to talk with you before tonight, but I never know how to, you know, because you, I'm just fortunate that you were able to share with me tonight, because you know usually, you are doing what you're about to go do now. I think you already have your degree. You're getting your other degree, plus you're running the program, and I have nothing but tremendous accolades and appreciation, and very humble always,
thank you.
Honored to be in your presence. So,
thank you.
And I'm going to encourage you, if you don't mind, please, to come back again.
Absolutely.
And make sure your dad gets a chance to come back and let's.
Oh yeah,
this.
Maybe we'll come on Thursday. I have to remind him.
All righty.
Yeah.
I'll be. You know, stay, let me know, okay?
I will.
Yeah, because that way, because you come in and I'm like, I didn't know if I had known, you know, and people think this fool, you know, but I'm always unprepared. You know, but when you come on, you make me prepared. Huh?
I said, you don't sound unprepared to me.
I am. But
you have a great show, and I appreciate you that you come on every week, you know, and how you introduced all of the other, you know, men and women that have radio shows. I didn't know until I was listening to you mention them.
Oh, let me tell
especially
you.
Especially Quiet Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Her?
And I know her from the some of the rooms. And I didn't know she had a radio show. I would for sure support her.
Well, you know, Sister India DeClaire, you know, if y'all, I hope someday y'all will get together, and Sister Navazor, and Brother Apple and all the rest. But let me tell you, and Sister Janice Graham, but let me tell you this, Sister Rabia. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you, dearly love you, greatly respect you, and hold you in very high esteem. And I know you have things to do, and you know I could just tie you up. I only got like 8 more minutes, but I'm going to give you the 8 more minutes. I'm going to let you go do your stuff. And please always know you're welcome, and stay in touch. I wish we could do a series, you know, maybe, you know, I'm on an hour and a half. We can do 30 minutes, whatever you want to do, and take, you know, some specific. Without using any names, instances,
mm-hmm.
where that, and ways that we can address, because the things you do are needed all over the United
mm-hmm.
States. Okay?
You know what? I just got a text from one of my friends who said there's a homeless woman in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And if Smart could help her. You know, and I said, wow, you know, you're right. It's just all over, you know, it's everywhere. And, you know, you try to reach out and help everybody, and then, you know, it's just going on in all the communities, you know.
And what I'm doing is talking with my dear sisters, India and Sister India DeClaire and Sister Navazor. And you know what my dream is, whether I'm a part of it or not a part of it. I mean, you know what I'm telling you is that I would see this three sisters right here, you, Sister India, Sister Navazor, right here. I'm telling you, you do not know, in my opinion, and this is why I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard me talking about it, about the Cinco de Mayo and 4,000 Mexican soldiers defeated 8,000 well-trained French troops. The obstacle is irrelevant. The objective is significant. The objective and the commitment has to be stronger and more foreboding than the obstacle. I don't even, ants don't consider the obstacle. We don't need to consider any obstacles. You know? You understand what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You know? And it's going to take some networking. But I'm telling you, you got two very dynamic sisters sitting here in these room, in this room right here. And you are a very dynamic sister. Let me let you go because I know you got stuff you need to do. But Sister Abia, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And all the blessings. What do you say? I don't know. Shalom. How'd I say it?
Salam alaikum. It's cool.
All right.
But I have to go. And
all
thank
right.
you. Thank you for this show. I'll talk with you later on.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
All right. Sister India, before you go,
mm-hmm.
Sister India just typed in the room, how can she help? The India Declare Show. And we're going to, y'all going to hook up, period.
We have to consider that. Yes, I would love it, yes.
Because I'm telling you, this is, Oprah left a big old vacuum, and we got to fill it in all the little places.
But we will. But I'm going to go, and because I could keep on and on.
You know I keep you here.
So I'll talk with you later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Blessings to you.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I want to thank Sister India. Thanks, Sister Rabia Ahmed. Smart to change. And Sister India, God knows, you know, hey, You know, you and Sister Navazar, Sister Janice, hey, it's on like you know what? You know what I'm saying? It's just on. And it's on with anybody that wants to. I mean, just check out Sister India Declare at 10 a.m. Every day, Monday through Friday, I believe now. I don't think you come on Saturdays anymore. And Sister Navazar that comes on Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Navazor, Navazor 1. Type it in the blog talk search block and tune in to these shows. Sister India Declare, INDIADECLAIR, India Declare Show. Type it in, blog talk radio search block. You know, come online. Because we are the alternative to corporate media, and to a degree, I think we have been instrumental in driving a corporate media to have some more interest in some of the concerns that they weren't nearly as interested in previously. And we can't change. We don't have, as far as I know. And when I say we, I'm only can speak for myself, and hopefully. I feel comfortable, although I don't know my sisters very well, but I'm feeling comfortable that they share my enthusiasm, and I just am so very happy. And we're going to be looking forward to hooking up all the different show hosts that I am familiar with, and I want to share Sister Rabia and her enthusiasm and her determination and her commitment with the enthusiasm, determination, and commitment of my dear sisters, Navazar, for instance, and Sister India Declare, Sister Janice Graham, Sister Miss Quiet Storm, and there are some more powerful sisters, and I'm sure there's some brothers, Brother Alpho, and Gary McCance, Jay Early, and hopefully we'll get a chance to share some more with you. And just remember this as I'm leaving and closing. Let me say this is the next phase with Ice and Friends right here on Block Talk Radio. Give us a call anytime, 347-945-7040. Or you can contact me at blakicz.1@gmail.com. And I'm going to leave you with this. Don't let this happen to you. All she wants to do is dance.
All right, we're going to try a new song. This is This is a song written by Eddie Harris. Today was the first time we ever saw it. So, with your help, we might do it. This is called Cold Duck Time.